I appreciate Jim giving me the opportunity to share from God's Word today, since he's on the other side of the world. And actually, Elaine and I got home yesterday from 3 weeks in Southeast Asia. And while we were there, we saw many of the missionaries who are from Staples Mill, who are serving in that part of the world. And I bring you greetings from them. They appreciate so very much the prayer support, the love support that they receive from Staples Mill on a continuing basis. I invite you this morning to turn to Romans, the 12th chapter. The book of Romans, the 12th chapter. You know, as I look around the room, I'm pretty sure that most of us who are here know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. He is the Lord of our lives. But yet, when we look at our lives, we realize we don't always live exactly the way in which He would have us live. We're not always His obedient servants. And these very familiar verses that we read this morning help us understand His call on our lives, how He would have us live, and how that might be possible. Romans, the 12th chapter, reading the first two verses. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. What has God done for you? Just think about that a moment. What has God done for you? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know that He has taken you from your sin and your disobedience. And because of your faith in Jesus, He has forgiven you of your sins. And He has given you a new and abundant life. Let me take just a little diversion for a moment. I realize there may be some people here this morning who don't yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And let me assure you, let me remind you based on God's Word, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, born of a virgin, that He lived, that He ministered, that He died on the cross of Calvary, taking upon Himself your sin and my sin, the sins of the world. That He rose again on the third day, and that He's coming again. And that His death on the cross of Calvary and His resurrection makes possible for you just as much as for anyone else, that you might experience the beautiful forgiveness and salvation that He makes available to us. But what else has He done for us, those of us who know Him? We have been justified by faith, yes, but something continues to happen in our lives, and that is that we're being sanctified by His power. Now, sanctified is not a word that I use on a daily basis, and my guess is it's not one you use either. But sanctified simply means we are being made more holy. We are being made more like our Lord day by day. He does that in our lives as we allow Him to. Another thing He's done for us is give us a promise that we are going to be glorified and live a life in eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ as joint heirs with Him. Now just think about that a moment. You and I will live a life in glory with our Lord. He's done that for us. Now, these things we've just mentioned are all explained by Paul in Romans chapter 1 to 11. Everything that comes before this chapter 12, verse 1. And you note here that Paul says, therefore, I appeal to you, therefore. And the therefore refers to the before of all the things we just mentioned that God has done for us. So what's the appeal based on what's already happened? I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, first, he says, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, most of us have never witnessed an animal actually being sacrificed for a religious purpose of some kind. But yet we know a lot of that goes on even today. Of course, it's all in the Old Testament before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as the perfect sacrifice. But as we look at some other faiths around the world today, we'll see that animals are still being sacrificed, and that's usually by slitting their throat or something similar, and they give their lives. Sacrifice is the giving of a life. Sacrifice is the loss of a life in that case. But here, we are called to be living sacrifices. It's a pretty serious term to be sacrificed. For us to be called to be a living sacrifice means we are to give all for our Lord. Listen to Romans, the 6th chapter, starting with the 11th verse. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. We're reminded in those verses just that we just read that we're to live holy lives. We are to live lives that are different. We are to live lives that are not full of the sin that we see so often around us in this fallen world. And when he says to live our lives as a sacrifice, he goes on to say, which is your spiritual worship? Now, we had a great time of singing as part of our worship this morning. And we enjoy coming to worship services. We enjoy praising the Lord together. We enjoy praying together. We enjoy opening God's Word, for all of that is worship to Him. But here, Paul says there's another level of worship, what he calls our spiritual worship. And that is the giving of our lives day by day. That is the spiritual worship that he's calling us to. How can we do this? He says, by the mercies of God. It's because of the mercies of God that we do it, and it's by the mercies of God, his grace to us, that we're able to live in that way. Now, verse 1 that we've just looked at is the attitude. Verse 2 is the action, the resultant action. Look at this. Do not be conformed to this world. We're reminded time after time in the New Testament that we are citizens of a new age. We're living in the kingdom of Christ, under the lordship of Christ. This past week, I think it was Tuesday, was the 4th of July. Since we were in Thailand, we didn't really celebrate the U.S. Independence Day much, although we did take about 5 minutes during the worship service to do that. But you were reminded last Tuesday that you are citizens of this country. But more than that, we are citizens of the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And therefore, Paul says, don't be conformed to this world. This world wants to make us like it is. This world is not comfortable with people who are different from the way so many people live their lives. This world wants us to look like them. But 1 John 2, the 15th verse says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The Phillips translation of this verse, a part of the verse says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. Do you feel the world trying to squeeze you to be like it? Do you feel things that we might see on television, hear on the radio, or just people that we encounter day by day seeking to squeeze us into a mold that the world has created? We experience it that day by day. But Paul says, the Lord says through Paul, do not be conformed to this world. Instead, he says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Mind there refers to our innermost being, what it is that is me. Just think for a moment. When you say me or I, what do you mean? We really mean the very depths of our heart and mind. And Paul says, be changed by the renewing of our minds. Be changed by the renewing of the me that is me. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above. Now, it'd be pretty easy for you and I to say, I've done that. There was this one experience I had in my life when I gave myself to the Lord, and with everything I have, I said, I am yours henceforth. That's great. But you know what? There's another day tomorrow, and there's another day the next day, and the temptations of the world and the attempt of the world to squeeze us into its mold is new every day. And therefore, our intentionally allowing God to renew our minds, to transform us, is something that we need to allow to happen every day. As we come before our Lord every day, we must be thinking, Lord, today, make me what you want me to be. Transform me, change me, however you would change me today. It's not an easy thing for the patterns of our lives to change. It's difficult to break with the way things tend to be done in our environment, in our society, in our situation. But 1 Peter 2, the 11th verse says, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles. It's far enough to go right there. We are sojourners and exiles. In other words, we are aliens on this earth. Peter says, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. It's difficult indeed to break with the way things are done day by day around us. But you know what? When we do, when we're different, when we don't act the way people expect the average person to act, we attract their attention. And the time will come when they ask us, why are you this way? Why do you live in a different way? And that gives us that special opportunity to explain Jesus to them. On the other hand, they may sometimes have stereotypes about Christians. The average guy out there may think, you know, Christians are pretty stuck up. They stay to themselves. They are pretty ignorant. You know what? When we show ourselves different from those stereotypes, when we show ourselves as people who care about other people and want to be in their lives in a positive way, and we break those stereotypes, it interests people in our Lord in a way it would not happen otherwise. Another thing related to renewing our minds and not being conformed to the world has to do with how we make decisions, you know, or what decisions we consult God about. You know, for most of us, if we're making a major decision in our lives, like, for instance, changing jobs, getting married, moving to a different city, big decisions like that, those of us who are believers consult the Lord about that. We ask Him for direction about the major decisions of our lives. But folks, He's talking about every day of our lives. He's calling us to obedience and transformation and renewal of our minds every day. And that means we consult the Lord about every decision. The question simply is, when you peel away the outer layer of our lives, what does it say? Does it say, made in Virginia, made in the USA, or does it say, made in heaven? What do we find inside our lives? It also applies to the dreams, the visions we have for our lives. Do we allow God to renew those, to change those? You know, most of us have some pretty definite visions about the future. We have visions, we have dreams for our children. We have dreams for our career. Some of us have dreams for our retirement. I haven't figured out how to make that work yet. But we have dreams for these elements of our lives. But do we have dreams for God's kingdom and what He might do? Do we trust Him to do something big? I had an experience that changed this aspect of my life. It was more than 30 years ago. We had been on the mission field about 10 years at that time, and I was in a meeting, and a new young couple had just arrived on the mission field. And they were going to start a ministry in agriculture. He was an agricultural expert, and they were going to reach out with the gospel from the base of that ministry. And in this meeting, they laid out the plans that God had for them, what the things they saw happening, their vision for years to come. And as they said those things, I sat there and thought to myself, thank the Lord I did not say it out loud, but I sat there thinking to myself, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know the challenges. You don't know the difficulties. You don't know the opposition that you're going to face. And as I was thinking those things, the Lord spoke to me so very clearly. And He said, they're not the ones who are wrong. You are the one who is wrong. They have a vision for what I will do, and you're limiting what I might do. Brothers and sisters, God wants to renew our minds, even our vision, our dreams for days to come, with the realization that He is able to do great things. May we have a vision for great things that our God wants to do in us and around us. If we allow the Lord continually to transform not just our lifestyle, but our dreams, and plant a vision in us, we become much more the kind of subjects He would have us be. But there's one more part to these two verses. Again, the second verse, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may determine what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Or another translation says, prove that the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. What do you think about God's will? God is our Father, and He loves us. And He knows what's best. He is all-knowing. I don't know who the smartest person in this room is, but I know that God knows a whole lot more than you know. But you know what? A lot of us have problem trusting the goodness of God's will. I remember when I was a teenager and a young adult, God's will was just sort of something that was in my mind a lot. I grew up in the church, very involved in a church situation. And so I found myself often asking God to show me His will. I was usually talking more about the the rest of my life, not necessarily the individual day, and I probably should have been talking more about that. But anyway, I came to a point in my early 20s when I realized all at once what I had been doing was asking God to show me His will for my life so I could evaluate it and decide whether I was going to do it or not. So I could evaluate whether it was good. And you know what? God is not in the business of sharing His purpose and His will with us so we can evaluate it. He does not bother to tell us what He'd like to do with our lives so that we can then decide whether or not we'll do it. Instead, God, who is our good Father, whose will is perfect and acceptable and good, He expects us to be committed to do His will, and then He'll let us know what it is. One of my favorite verses about that is found in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the 8th verse. This has to do with that time when God first spoke to Abraham and gave Abraham the promise that He was going to make a great nation of his descendants. And God told Abraham to move out and start heading toward the promised land, even though Abraham had no idea where it was. He didn't have a globe. He didn't have a map. He didn't have a GPS. All he knew was God said, go. He hadn't even found on TripAdvisor information about what he would find when he got there. God just said, go. Hebrews 11, the 8th verse. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. In other words, Abraham said to God, you lead, I follow. Brothers and sisters, if our minds are really renewed, if we are really transformed by Him, we say to God day by day in the big things and the little things, God, you're the boss. You lead. I follow. And God has a perfect plan for every one of us. That is why it says, prove that the will of God is good and acceptable and perfect. Any attempt at split loyalty, any attempt in the world runs part of our lives, and we run part of our lives, and we let God run some part of it. Any attempt at split loyalty, trying to serve both God and the world, tears us apart and keeps us from achieving whatever vision He might have for us. Remember what He has done for us. And because of what He has done for us, therefore, how shall we then live. Let's bow our heads. And first I read some questions for us to think about. Do I know him? Do I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? Am I continually offering my life as a pleasing sacrifice to him? Am I growing in him, striving for the vision? Is everything I do based on this age in this temporary world, or am I focusing on his kingdom? Is the pattern of my life molded by him? And am I proving how good and acceptable and perfect his will is? Our Lord, we thank you for this very familiar passage of scripture we've read this morning. And Lord, as we think on all those things you have done for us, of all the mercies of God, we are amazed, we are humbled, we are thankful beyond words. Our prayer, Lord, is that by your mercies, you might enable us to be sacrificed to you day by day. We might allow you indeed to transform and renew our minds, that we might not be conformed to this world. Lord, work in each of us in such a way that we are yours, not the world's, fully, day by day. Father, thank you for allowing us to serve you. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.